Good evening. I'd like to call to order the regular meeting of the Unalaska City Council. Call to order at 6:01. City Clerk, may I have a roll call, please?
Certainly, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Bell?
Here.
Ms. Coleman?
Here.
Ms. Luby?
Here.
Mr. Nicholson?
Here.
Mr. Longo? Mr. Tongel?
Here.
Mr. Turikoff?
Here. I'll ask Councilman Deneen to read our mission statement. Luby.
To provide a sustainable quality of life through excellent stewardship of government.
Okay, thank you. Please join Councilman Tongel as we do the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, thank you. For the record, we do have a quorum. Welcome all the visitors here this evening and those that are online. At this time, I need a motion and a second to adopt the agenda, please.
I make a motion to adopt the agenda.
Second.
Move back. Nicholson, sorry. Moved by Councilman Nicholson, seconded by Councilman Coleman, sorry. I'm having a bad day. Any changes? There's no objections, so we'll approve the agenda. The next item is approval of the minutes in the previous meeting. Motion and second to approve the minutes from December 19th, 2023.
I move to approve minutes of previous meeting, December 19, 2023.
Second.
Moved by Councilman Tungle, second by Councilman Nicholson. Hearing no objection, the proposed minutes are approved. Next item is the city manager's report. I'll turn this over to City Manager Homka.
Good evening, Mayor and City Council. It's been a while. I'm glad to be back. I know several of you were traveling with me as well, and holidays take the toll that they do. So I see lots of smiling faces with us tonight to be here. quick, there's a couple of items that I would like to call attention to on my manager's report. First is the Genius Star 11. And all I can tell you right now is that first, the team that we have in place and the incident command that we're doing locally, I'm very pleased with. It's a new experience, certainly for me, and I think a few of us, to try and deal with this unprecedented situation. And then each emergency, when we do in the emergency operations center and pull that together, you never know what it's going to be. It's usually weather related. This is the first time we've had a boat with this sort of a cargo in its hold, and trying to work with the Coast Guard in a much different fashion than we normally work with them. And it's been an experience. And so we continue to get daily updates from the Coast Guard and their team. We are not part of their unified command system, but we receive daily updates about what their work entails. So any further questions on that? We don't know when the boat is going to depart the harbor. We don't have a plan. I think they're still doing some of their own assessment work, and it's ongoing. Washington, we had a lot of things, a lot of meetings. I mean, it was my first trip to do that, and I can tell you that that is a lot of meetings and a lot of work to pack into 3 or 4 days and countless lifts and subway rides. And you got to watch who you travel with. Some of these people are hard to keep track of when they're with you. I'm not saying any names, but I can tell you I'm one of them. The Fisherman's Memorial, lately, we're looking for how to proceed with that. You know, we're trying to work with our partners on the trilateral. And I think while we had some support for dealing with one of the sites, I think OC is having some second thoughts about how they want to deploy their site and resources. And I know that we have this statue on its way, and I'm looking right now to kind of redeploy how we're thinking and what city sites and resources we have. Unfortunately, you might have to cut through and get it done. I'm not saying we're ruling out working with our partners, but we have a situation that I don't want to become a bigger situation where we're going to put this large statue for a period of time when it arrives. We have the Innovative Readiness Team. I think I sent you all that information, how they're coming, and some of the work that they had identified on there. I think we are giving feedback that it's not something that I think we want to spend our time on. We've already done an airport plan. The gasifier in itself is a specialized kind of project. I'm not sure where we're going with that yet. However, I think just in even talking with our partners at OC, they have some needs that they might be able to better use them, as well as just looking at city projects. So we still are looking at having them come. They'll be sending a team out here to kind of see exactly what it is that our community wants to work on. And I'll let you know more about that as it develops. I'm sure you guys will be extending invitations to meet with them when they get here. Title III compensation study. I think I just need to update it. I wanted to get a draft to all of you and have a work session in February. I think it's going to be early March, just for timing. I mean, I already got things that are popping up, and of course, we'll be getting ready for Juno at that time as well. I'm already working on that. So in saying that, you'll be should be seeing on your agenda soon a work session for what are our, you know, state priorities. So that's coming up, and I don't want to be behind the ball. I felt I was when we were trying to do our federal legislative priorities the week before we were heading out, and I don't want to be in that position again. And let me see. Oh, excuse me. Then there's the McCushion Geothermal. I'm going to give you a quick update on that. As I think you all know, we were looking at first, we were looking as a request of OCCP to cancel the Fourth Amendment to work on the power purchase agreement. There have been additional discussions, and we're still gathering our own data to continue down the path of how to proceed. And I think OCCP is looking at would like to actually deploy the Fourth Negotiated Amendment. We have questions. There is some information that, you know, we learned in Washington that we're still digesting and we're trying to get answers for. And I'm working with OC on that, and specifically Natalie Kale. I know some other folks have reached out to me, but when you're not prepared to really give a formulated plan, there's nothing much to say. But there is still quite a bit of work to do on that and the direction that the city will take. So that concludes my city manager report. I'd be happy to answer any questions, if I can.
Thank you. Is there any comments or questions for council members? Councilman Coleman?
Yeah, since you brought up the OCCP, have they to date met all their benchmarks, or I guess I should say deadlines, as scheduled in the PPA to date?
Well, that's a good question. The one that I think that we probably are aware of is, you know, there was a funding statement in there that they would have funding located or identified for the project by a certain date. And certainly they have acquired funding. But there was not a line there. What's the required minimum, et cetera? So it's more about, in my opinion, how is the shape of the project? What's the timeline? City has needs, right? We have people requesting, you know, we have a request for 14 megawatts. Where are we getting that from? So there's a lot more that's going into this now at this point than there was 4 years ago. So I think there's some questions that we have to iron out. I know it's just the manager's report, but I can tell you we have several people online, and one of them is Natalie Kale. I don't want to divert it, but we have some. If you have other questions on it, I'm happy to get the answers for you.
Councilman Coleman?
Yeah, I think that might lend itself more to a work session if we wanted to discuss that more. I don't want to get into that kind of, because there are a lot of moving parts I guess it was just more to me of the legal aspect that they were at this point meeting the the requirements that we had set forth in the, because I know there were several deadline extensions, and I didn't know, as long as we're continuing to meet that, then I'm fine moving forward with what we have right now.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Councilman Tungo.
Yeah, on the Junior Star, the parade, I know they've been monitoring and they assure us about safety. What is the next plan for it, or how long do you think, what are they waiting for it to get it going and head up to the bay?
I'm going to ask Assistant City Manager Margie Veter to come. She's our incident commander in this, and she can provide some light on your question.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. So I believe right now what they're doing, one of their objectives is to get the CO, carbon dioxide fire suppression system on the vessel recharged and ready to go. That's one of the requirements before they can leave here. And of course, there's logistical problems getting those canisters or bottles to Anchorage to get recharged and then getting them back here. So that's one of the requirements. They'll certainly be here until that's done. And also they're presently, I think they have a marine chemist on board doing evaluations to determine if it is safe for people to enter the cargo holds so the cargo can be assessed. The pieces that have come unlashed, you know, there's apparently some debris on the tops of the cargo from the fire or event that happened in there. So that's the next step too, is to assess whether they're waiting for the marine chemist to say that it's safe for people to enter the cargo holds to start doing that work. Does that answer your question?
So that, when are they expecting those? I know we're having problem with brace and everything. Do they have an ETA on when they expect those?
On the carbon dioxide system? No, they didn't give us I don't think they even have all of the bottles shipped to Anchorage yet.
Oh, so, okay.
And I specifically asked at the last meeting, I said, do you have any estimate of how long the ship is going to be here? And they didn't, Captain Culpepper wouldn't provide an estimate because I think they simply don't know. But then toward the end of his answer, he finally said weeks. So that's the only indication that I have so far.
That's kind of scary with all this bad weather we have. I know he said it's stable right now.
That's what they tell us.
Yes. I hope it'll stay that way. And I hate for this community to deal with any kind of dilemma I don't know if we're ready for it if something happened on that one.
Yeah, from the very beginning, of course, our primary concern was the safety of the community and the responders and the people in the vessel. And I am thankful that they're doing the shoreside air monitoring, kind of in a curve from the gun range over to past Little South America. They have stationary air monitoring systems there. And they're also, I think one or two are driving around in the community taking air samples as well.
Those air samples became bad, but what's the step we got to take?
Well, I assume that depends on what bad means, you know, what the readings are and what the gases are.
Well, worst case scenario, if something goes bad, are we ready to deploy, or what's our plan in case things really get to the worst where, you know, things... monitoring got really bad where the air is hard to breathe and everything is going.
Well, I would imagine we would have to have some sort of evacuation plans to move people away from the areas that are involved to areas that are not involved. But a firm plan in place? No, we don't. I don't think we have that.
Yeah, the incident or EOC has done a great job in informing the community as best as we can. A lot of moving issues with the incident command, which we're not part of. we are the stakeholder group that attends meetings every other day in person. And I think they've done a great job in keeping the council informed, keeping our emergency people informed as to what's happening. There's a lot of unknowns, you know, and I understand your concern, Councilman Tungo and others, but a lot of what's going to happen is going to happen. We've got, according to the last report, we've got people coming in that own the batteries, and they're going to be inspecting these batteries at some point. I'm concerned that they haven't already did a venting process of some sort, but I can understand maybe why they have all empty bottles, CO2s are empty, and some of them are still here on the island until they all return full. My understanding is they're not going to do anything. So, yeah, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So I think that slow venting process has already begun. They're doing that actively on the vessel. So that's already in process. And I'd like to ask our fire chief, Ben Knowles, to come up and explain the evacuation plans that have been devised. So I was incorrect and I stand corrected on that. And I'm going to invite Fire Chief Knowles up to let you know what that plan is.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. So like it's already been stated, there's a lot of moving parts and we've kind of been removed from that unified command system. So there's some of this that we've just really been operating in the dark, and that makes things a lot more difficult to plan. But we have had communication with Mr. Starkey, who's the overall incident safety officer, as well as contact with the United States Coast Guard Pacific Strike Team, who is in charge of doing the community air monitoring. Basically, what we have come up with is creating a custom message that we can put over our tsunami sirens, keeping in mind that we would isolate areas of like Ballyhoo and Spit. They have separate messages to push them away from that beach area, as well as Unicy or Bobby Stores' location has a custom message to actually move them away from that waterside and push them back towards what will be called the G1 dock. So the plan is the notification process. So if there were to be any gases that would be of a concerning level, it would be evaluated, one, to make sure that those levels were true and accurate. There can be things like cars stopping to look at the boat, take pictures over there that can cause false readings, high levels of CO, byproducts of diesel engines running and idling nearby. So that would be the first step, is to ensure going over there with a physical hand monitor. One of their strike team members would go over there and ensure that that level is accurate, at which point the notification through public safety would happen. We would meet face-to-face with that Pacific strike team and determine whether or not we do need to activate those alarms, at which point we would activate them based on that reading of atmospheric air at that point to be determined immediately dangerous to life and health. Now, those levels, I'm not 100% sure of what they would be at. I can definitely meet with the Pacific Strike team tomorrow and try and get what those numbers would be, but they would be pretty high. They would have to be really high. That's the plan we have going forward, is the Pacific Strike team would make that notification to us.
Well, on that, Ben, what's the approximate time for estimated, if you have one, for notification and evacuation? Are you looking at probably doing the testing? I understand, you know, you're talking about a handheld monitor sending people into a certain area, say the Walshek area, or the airport, between there and the airport. This affects people in Standard Oil Hill. This affects people in the Unicy bunkhouses. That's a lot of people. So we've got to have some kind of a estimate of time for even those on this side, possibly, depending on which way the wind is blowing. A lot of it is, if it's blowing toward either point, we won't be that much effect, but there will be some residue, I'm sure. But what can you, I don't know if we can answer that, but I just ask it.
Yeah, I can't answer that with a specific time. It's definitely something that I can bring up in conversations with that team that's in charge of the passive air monitoring. And I think it's important to note that both City Manager Homka and Assistant City Manager Veder did make it very clear that this is part of the reason why we did not want this vessel here, is there's just so many unknowns, time frames. We don't have a lot of place to sequester people should it be upwind of this incident or downwind of this incident. It creates a lot of issues for us in the worst case scenario, as you had mentioned. But I will speak to the strike team and try and get more detailed plans and push those through the incident commander and have those disseminated to you.
Okay, thank you. Any further questions? Thank you, Marty. Councilman Luby, then Bell.
Yeah, I don't necessarily have a question so much as I just want to say thank you for all the work that you have done. Margie did a great job stepping up and notifying everybody and letting us all know what was going on. So I thank you for that and, you know, your continued work. So also, I just want to give a handout to the roads department as well. With all the ice and everything we've had, the roads department's done an awesome job at, you know, keeping the roads clear and sanded. And it would be nice if we could get our, not the city, they wouldn't do this, but, you know, be able to get driveways and parking lots so that they're not so bad, but the city roads, they were awesome. They did a great job. So thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Councilman Bell.
A quick question as far as open positions within the city. We're showing 22 here. Are we getting applications? Is there any interest? Are we running into the same thing that's happening countrywide where you just can't get applicants? And are we potentially looking at changing some pay scales in the future to attract people? I just don't need whatever we can to get some of these key positions. You got police officers and, you know, managers and stuff, positions open. And I think having those positions open long term is frustrating for council and frustrating for city manager, both, just not having those resources.
All right. I've not had an opportunity to have a discussion about what we're planning to do since I've been back. I can tell you that promising candidates lunches paid for all by the city council people on a weekly basis isn't working. So, no. I mentioned the comp study, and I think you'll be interested when you get the draft, and where we're at with that is the directors need an opportunity to digest it. We haven't given it to them yet. And there are other issues in there in terms of things that we'll probably want to be looking at citywide. It wasn't just narrowly specific on the Title III employees, because it does all relate, right? We'll be going into PSEA negotiations here soon. So we're looking at a lot of things that I think are worth negotiating, some things that I think maybe not. We could put those resources to a better use that are more fairly distributed among maybe all the employees. We're having some discussions like that at this point, which is still premature since we haven't had the opportunity to have the discussions with directors and get their feedback. Once we have that, we're working out a time frame to have the actual consultant come out and help present the study to council in a work session. I think we're looking at early March. But sure, I think the stresses that we're experiencing are similar across the board to many communities, but I don't think it's going to be a surprise, or it shouldn't be a surprise, that when they looked at the pay and where we're at and compared it to how other communities are trying to pay similar wages, that we're very under. So, you know, there's a price tag that's going to be coming with that to help fix it. So you'll be getting these conversations, and we'll be entering them here pretty shortly. And I won't say everything's on the table, but we're going to have to look outside the box of how we've been doing things. And I think you see that we've kind of come to you with a couple of ideas to try and get people to come back, and what's negotiable, what isn't. And there'll be a more holistic discussion about that too, with some data points.
So you bring up PSEA, their contract will be coming up for two off along. And before we know it, we'll be back visiting 302 and IBU and all that. We're planning to do a compensation study citywide before any of these contracts come due, or do we use a separate set of facts and figures and data for each of those contracts?
I mean, that's a good question. I think a lot of the data that we got helps, and we're looking at different things. I mean, just even people who are represented workers, you know, there's compression issues. I mean, why take a job with more responsibility when the pay band doesn't pay much more? And, you know, that has affected us when we've tried to promote from within. The two primarily tasked with this have been, again, Margie and then Amy, our HR manager. And I think some of these questions are still ones that we'll want to vet through. We don't think we'll have the time to commission another study and get the results back. However, I think we have talked to them about giving us some additional information to help us with ongoing negotiations. And at risk of probably just saying the wrong answer, Margie, do you want to come up and build on that, please?
So, excuse me, it's McGrath Human Resources Consultants that are doing the present Title III classification and compensation study. And we have so appreciated working with them. They're knowledgeable and they know their stuff. And local governments, that's what they do. And just today, I reviewed their proposal to, I asked them to do some updated market research for PSEA, strictly so that on fire and police, so that we have good information going into negotiations. So I just talked with them today and said their proposal was good to go and they're going to start on that work soon. So yeah, we are having, it's not going to be a full classification and compensation study like we're doing for Title III, but it's going to be market updates for each of those positions so that we know compared to the market where we need to be for those negotiations. And that was strictly to inform us before the negotiation process starts. And you also, if you like, you know, you asked at the beginning, Councilmember Bell, if we're getting any applications. And I would say that for a couple of the positions, we're not. We're not getting any applications for controller or the utility lineman positions. Or I don't believe we're getting any applications either for the police jobs. We are getting lots of applications and processing them and getting people interviewed and such for the jobs in utilities. And I think we're in the process of, on several of those positions, we are getting applications for the utility jobs. And I don't believe the city engineer is presently posted. But the equipment mechanic and the installation maintenance worker, those are posted. And I believe we've received some applications there. The lifeguards is kind of always somewhat of a revolving thing because most of our lifeguards are students. And so they turn over pretty often. So we are getting applications for some of the jobs. Some of the jobs we're not. And as you know, we're just about ready. We're working with Baker Tilly to recruit a utilities director. And if we have high hopes for that process, and if it's very successful, I think then we will maybe have them help us recruit for other jobs like the controller position next, if we're happy with the results this time around.
Okay, thank you. I didn't want to get into too deep a dive here, especially okay. If we're going to do a work session down the road here on the presentation of the comp study. I just, have some apprehension and some worries about the direction that maybe this is going if we're going a different direction with different groups of employees. It all affects, in the bottom line, we don't necessarily as a council set any wages or anything like that, but it does affect the bottom line when we start looking at budgets and, costs of the city. So thank you.
Thank you, Councilman Bell. Councilman Newby.
Yeah, there just kind of reminded me of something I wanted to ask was, with the lifeguards specifically, you mentioned those are typically from the high school kids or the, you know, the school kids. So it's a kind of a revolving door. So I think that's great. It gives the kids a job, which it's really hard for a lot of them to get jobs, just because they have a lot of different things going on. And there's not a lot of jobs for, you know, kids under 18. So I think it's good. But the one thing I've heard, because of the city's policy with, I guess, relatives being supervisors of others, I was wondering if we could look at that for, maybe specifically for this. Is there a reason that lifeguards, if, say, a parent is, would be normally their supervisor, could their supervisor be the supervisor of the life? You just see what I'm saying? Instead of, I mean, could it, instead of the direct supervisor being a parent, could it be a supervisor above them, their supervisor? Just because it's such a, it's kids. I don't know if there's anything we could do that, but I, I've heard that kind of being an issue with some of the kids that would like to be lifeguards, but they can't. And so, anyway, I just thought I would say something there.
We did look at that policy specific to the positions you're mentioning, and we decided that we were not going to change our policy.
Okay, great. I was just curious on if that even...
It was evaluated, yes.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Hey, thank you, Councilman Luby. Any further questions for city manager on this report? Hey, thank you, Bill. Move on. Next item is the community input and announcement. This time for members of the public to provide information to council or make announcements of interest to the community. Please come to the podium once you're already there. Use the microphone. State your name.
Hi, Roger Blakely, PCR director. I wanted to give mayor and council, I wanted to give you a little update on a couple of programs that are going on, and then talk about Martin Luther King for a second. Our youth soccer signup has just concluded. And we have 108 participants this year in the soccer program, which is really good because it's coming back from pre-pandemic era registration. And noting also that 100 families or 100 children have left the city. So having this many children in the soccer program this year is good. And we're real proud of Chris and Albert for making that happen. We also started a new skating program for women. And we have 25 women participating in roller skating. And we'd encourage all of you to come put on your skates, put on a helmet, and come skate with us. It's a really great program, and we're seeing... We're trying to do things right now in PCR to overcome the lack of internet that we've had for so long, and people stay home and they're watching movies all day long and playing games and doing all this stuff. And I think that we're trying new things, and I think we're getting out there in the community. On January 17th, is Martin Luther King Day, and we will be having a community potluck. It starts at 6:30 at the PCR gym. Come bring your favorite dish, and we'll have dancers and a movie, and it should be fine, and it should be a fun event. So I look forward to having y'all there. Thank you.
Thank you, Roger. Anyone else wish to speak?
Mayor?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Business licenses are expired at the end of 2023. So if you want to renew your license, please do so right away. And we also have March 1st, 2024, we have senior citizen and disabled veteran property tax exemption application due date, and also the business personal property tax return. We're also accepting applications for senior citizen sales tax refund, and they're due on March 31st. So applicants must be 65 years old or older by March 31 and a resident of the city for at least 30 days prior to the application.
Thank you. Any further comments from the public? Is city clerk, is any written comments submitted or on Zoom, telephone?
No, sir. No other comment.
Okay, thank you. Our next item nine, public comment on agenda items. This is time for members of the public to provide information to the council regarding items on the agenda. They don't want to wait until the item comes up for regular agenda. To comment later during the regular agenda, you need to sign up with the city clerk. Please come to the podium, use the microphone, and state your name. Does anyone present wish to speak on the agenda items? Anyone on Zoom or telephone?
No, sir.
Okay, thank you. We'll go into item 10, which is a regular agenda. First item A, ordinance 2024-02, creating a budget amendment number 3 to the fiscal year 2024 budget, appropriating $84,450 from the general fund to increase the Department of Public Safety Records Management System project, accepting State of Alaska Department of Health MIH grant for $83,333.33 to fund the purchase of a new command vehicle, and reducing the budgeted amount for a cruise ship terminal demand study project by $45,042 to fund the UMC dock site survey in the port's operating fund. I have a motion and a second to introduce ordinance 2024-02 and schedule it for public hearing and second reading on January 23rd, 2024.
I move to introduce ordinance 2024-02 and schedule it for public hearing and second reading on January 23, 2024.
Second.
Moved by Councilman Tungle, seconded by Councilman Nicholson. I'll turn this over to the city manager for introduction and explanation.
So thank you, Mayor and City Council members. So obviously this is our budget amendment. We try to keep them all to coordinate them at single points in time. We have several items in front of you. There would have been more, and they'll be coming at the next meeting, just with holidays and getting actual information prepared in time. We've decided to bifurcate those. And the projects themselves, you can see they're pretty specific why we're looking for them. Obviously, we're trying to deploy the last bit of some grant money that is available to us. We're putting that into our mobile health unit. The CAD RMS project is a situation that unfortunately it requires additional funds, only because when this started out, we had not involved all the stakeholders to begin with. And that's a sad kind of a situation. We shouldn't be in this situation. And I would commend the staff that is trying to pick up this project and get it through to fruition. It's something we need. It's something technology now is available with having, you know, the fiber optic, which that wasn't really considered. I mean, what other things can we use when this was first deployed? The fiber optic would come. So we definitely want to augment those services with what we're purchasing. And the right people were not involved at the table. And this is clearly and as simply as I can put it on that project, but I don't want you to feel that it's some sort of wayward project. We were just one of these last cat by the tails that we've inherited, and I want to make sure that the system is up and running properly. There's probably specific questions you may have, and for those, I'll turn those over to either Ben or Kim or fire and police. And then lastly, the port project. We definitely want to just get out there and double check some of the issues that we see we're having, make sure that they're fixable and what the needs are. And the funds that we're using from that, just to be clear, that originally was our cruise ship project that we were going to do that council turned into a demand study for ports. And we know that we're probably not going to need $400,000+ for demand study, but we want to get this work completed as we're moving into project time. So that's the justification for trying to tap those funds right now to get that study done with PND. They're the ones that help design those surfaces and docks for us. And that's why we're using them to double check the work, the status of it. I shouldn't say double check the work, double check the status of it now that it's been there. And I know Peggy McLaughlin is online to answer any questions of that. So to open it up to your questions.
Great, hey, thank you. Any comments, questions for Councilman Tango?
On the hardware for the police department on the computer, I know we just approved that $450,000, I think, on the, not too long ago. And that thing was supposed to be that work suite that without complication, and it's easy to install with good support from the manufacturer where we bought it. Now that we're coming back with this, is this gonna solve everything we wanted after we get this additional? Is that gonna solve the 911 call that we just had? That turned down in no other number, or kind of got cut off without a landline. It's pretty hard to everybody pretty much got their landline. Yeah, everybody have a cell phone. If you can't call 911 on a cell phone, you can't run around and find a landline phone. Pretty much all the businesses are the only one getting a landline nowadays. I don't know how much residents got landline, but that's not a good. I did not like the idea of having the 911 call and finding a landline to be able to do an emergency if something's happened.
To answer your question, Councilman, I'm not really sure what the relation is between what the issue was between our 911 system being down in GCI and it was our system. And I'd ask probably Chief Hankins or Ben to help address that question. I think this update is really a lot about how the systems interior communicate with each other, how we can communicate with the state and feds, all of the bells and whistles that we bought but weren't well thought through in that tree of how it all relates together technology-wise. I don't know that all of our, folks ever actually were invited to sit in the room by those project leads, 2 years ago. And so you can bet that I've asked and stressed the importance that this is it. This is on me at this point and my team. And what is the need here? One thing that I did learn is we probably should have had a consultant help us work on our side of things to make sure it was being deployed. As your director of planning, I would watch these things, and I'm assuming Motorola is our consultant. Well, they're our vendor, right? We're going to sell everything. But who's making sure it's all going together? So you can be assured that when we start deploying any other kind of projects, who are the players and what kind of assistance do we need overall? And we're not going to cut corners and save money on someone who can really help us do it right by cutting them out. With that, I'd like to ask Ben or Kim to help maybe address the 911 situation since that happened just recently, and then we can go from there. So, Chief Hankins.
Thank you, Council. The 911 situation took us completely by surprise. We found out about it when we got a call from the clinic asking for an ambulance because the person tried to call 911 several times and couldn't get through. We immediately got on it with GCI. And found out that our 911s were rolling over to Anchorage, Fairbanks, and other places in North America down in the lower 48. So they were going somewhere, they just weren't coming to us. What we found out was that it was GCI that couldn't get 911 calls in. If you had an Optumera phone, you were good. We reported this to GCI specifically that we had Optumera could get through, but GCI couldn't. They opened up a ticket. We didn't hear anything back other than the phones came back up. We knew they were back up because we were testing them. Because we didn't hear anything, we got a hold of the state EMS coordinator and ask them to get involved to find out what the problem was, because we still haven't got an answer from GCI about where the breakdown was and how to avoid it in the future.
Yeah, go ahead, Council.
You think we might be looking on some kind of backup in case this thing happened again?
We won't have control over GCI. So if the GCI system, if their system goes down, we have no way to mitigate a resolution to that.
Well, we might, got to be some other option to be able to make things work.
We will have to. Okay. We're going to investigate that. I'm not going to rest all everything on one company to hope that they can.
Yeah, that's what needs. I'm looking. I want to see another option to be able to. I want to be able another option as a backup to make sure emergency are working. It don't matter who's go. You know, if GCI is down, there got to be some kind of backup that we can put in place.
Yeah, we'll have to work with them on figuring out what that is.
Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman.
Until you get a response from GCI, we won't know what that is, right? You haven't heard back.
We have not heard back about what the problem was and how it's been resolved, so it doesn't happen again.
All right, thank you. Councilman Bell and Councilman Ruby.
I just had a quick question on the support vehicle, the command vehicle for the MIH program. Is this an additional vehicle? Is this something that's replacing another vehicle? It's great that there's grant money here paying for this. I like that. And I think we all do. Or is this part of, it indicates here that it's to pull a trailer. So I wasn't sure if that was all part of one unit.
I've asked Ben Knowles to come up and answer your question for you.
It will not be an additional vehicle. So it will just be an early replacement on the FY25 rolling stock. The vehicle that it replaces will then go into motor pool or a floater to replace another outsourcing vehicle. So it's just basically kicking one up on earlier onto that schedule, but it's not going to be an additional vehicle to maintain.
Okay, but if the vehicles are replacing is still part of the motor pool, then it's an additional vehicle. So,
it's a new vehicle.
Right. Well, it's new to us, yeah. Okay. It's semantics. I'm not going to get too deep into that. It's not a big deal. I was just trying to understand the vehicle that's being purchased and what a little more deep dive into what its purpose is and what it will do. Maybe just if you can give a quick summary.
Yeah, so the vehicle's intention is to both support the mobile integrated healthcare project as well as be suited towards mental health response. A lot of times recently we've had a lot of responses to Title 47 protective custody mental health calls. We end up tying ambulances on scene for a long while we work through the legalities of that. This is a vehicle that will be used potentially for specific transports built out for folks needing that mental health care, as well as augmenting in other command structured events. I guess if you would like a more definitive answer on the rolling stock issue, Scott Brown could probably answer it if you wanted that. But the answer I was getting at is it's not an additional vehicle for the fire department. We're not going to maintain six command vehicles. It will still be the or five. It will be the original four.
Okay. Yeah. So I assume that then it has a home to park inside. So, you know, it's something now, an asset that will have for a long time.
Yes, sir.
I did have a question on the money for the ports. And that is primarily just to assess the needs for the area between the crane rails and assess the condition. And we do dredging on the sheet pile. I assume that's part of it. Or is this meant to be a little bit bigger to assess the whole positions 5 through 7 in the back reach area where it's just a mud hole? And
Director McLaughlin, are you available to address the councilman's question?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes, so this particular assessment is strictly to address and assess the concrete surface between the crane rails on positions 5 through 7. You'll know, having worked that dock, that there's kind of an undulating surface to that, and there's some drainage issues. That's consistent with needing some additional compaction. And this has been a project that's been on our radar for quite a while, but we were going to do a hydro demo and then reconcrete, which puts you in about, you know, a good 20-day cure process, which would definitely impact cargo operations. So when we built positions 4 through 3 and 4, the idea would be that we would shift cargo that direction. But more to the point, we can't really let this go. There doesn't seem to be any issues with the tail walls, but they need to assess the tail walls, the integrity of the crane rails themselves, and then come up with a plan to do the fill, the compaction, and the resurface. We will plan on, at this point, the plan is to prefer pavers because they've been performing so well, but it does not include the back reach, and it really has nothing to do with the dredging. It is strictly a maintenance issue for positions 5 through 7 from the original build.
Well, then a demand study, would that maybe address what the needs in the rest of the dock area down there? Or, and you know, what kind of time frame are we looking at? The more time goes by, the more the sea reclaims those pavers. It's a project that probably needs to be done sooner than later.
Yeah. So the goal, Councilmember Bell, is the demand study is a separate issue than this assessment. The demand study was originally the cruise ship terminal dock, and we council changed that into, let's understand what we are building for. So the demand study, separate from the assessment, will address vessel traffic, deep draft, specifically deep draft vessel traffic and cruise ship traffic. But we do not need the full amount of money that was funded for that project, which was funded originally under kind of the startup for the cruise ship terminal. So we're just basically amending $45,000 of that to assess positions 5 through 7, which is an active cargo dock, and that is a major piece of major maintenance that needs to be completed. It will strictly assess what needs to be done to level out that surface, fix the drainage, and resurface. Did that make sense? Answer your question?
Yes, it does. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, Councilman Bell. Councilman Luby?
So, this is the third budget amendment, and we still haven't seen financial reports since May. So it makes it kind of, I'm not saying I don't agree with these, but it makes it really hard to make budget amendments when you haven't seen financials. We don't even know how we closed last year. We haven't seen how we've been progressing this year, and we're 6 months into this year. And now you're saying there's going to be more budget amendments coming. We're getting ready to the budget session. It's going to be important that we see that stuff. So I really would like to see those financials if we're going to continue to do budget amendments and stuff. So just wanted to make a note about that.
Thank you, Councilman Luby. We are in a position, unfortunately, it's not on this agenda, but I'm pretty sure it will be on the next. We've been able to do all the amendments and everything that we need to do based on our getting our last audit done. The last conversation I had with our finance director is that she'll be ready and available to present all the reports. So I think it should be probably the next meeting. Both she and Peggy have been weathered out. They were due back here today, but we'll be looking to have this so you will have those baselines and see where we've been and what's happening. And we're working very hard not to be in this position again, whereas our audit took an exceptionally long amount of time, and we're trying to truncate that so it doesn't happen again. So we've already signed our letter of engagement with BDO to continue. We have a 2-3 year agreement, but first 2 years is kind of what we've really committed to, and I want to make sure it goes better this year.
Great, that'd be good. And I know you've had some challenges and stuff, but I just, you know, I want to keep reminding we do need to see him. So thanks.
Okay, thank you, Councilman Luby. Anyone else? Councilman Coleman?
Okay. I'm just going to ask the question on the replacement. I haven't looked at the rolling stock. I apologize. I probably could have answered this then. I am, again, since this is a new vehicle, I'm assuming that this next fiscal year fire are on their rolling stock ready to replace one of their vehicles already. So it was already ready to be purchased as a new vehicle, and then therefore the truck would then be moved on to another department. That doesn't put any more new vehicles in our motor pool. That is, I guess, what I'm asking.
Looks like Scott has a better answer than the one I have. Freddie, I might tip my tongue, so I'm going to have him come up. I can just say that when there's a grant opportunity that will pay for a vehicle, we certainly look at that as well. So, yeah.
Yes, but the comment in the memo is that there will be no additional costs. And when you have a new vehicle added to your motor pool and to your stock, there are additional costs. So I'm going to wait for an answer.
Mr. Brown.
There we go. Mr. Mayor, Councilman Coleman. That it is. So we would bring in the new vehicle if the grant is successful and that money comes through. We'll purchase a new vehicle. It actually did take one out of the rotation a little sooner than we normally would. Still meets all the parameters of our rolling stock program. That vehicle will no longer be in the fire department's unit. It will be moved into a different department for a vehicle that is going to be slated for not, it's going to be surplused out. So
okay.
We will not be adding an additional to the overall fleet,
okay,
nor to the fire department, if that Thank answers your question.
It does. Thank you.
Thank you.
The RMS, I know reading through the memo, it seems like there is money there that would negate a fair amount that is still expected to be spent to finalize this thing, but they wanted to really have enough so they don't have to come back with another amendment to do this. So my question is then, the 911 special fund, has that already been used for this year? Is there not money in that particular fund that could be transferred over instead of doing a budget amendment? It's already been allocated to the department. I don't know why, if they haven't used it, it might be a good resource to look to also. So I don't have the financials in front of me either, so I don't know where we're at on that. So that's just food for thought on that. And so the ports, okay. I guess my question is the urgency of this particular project, because the comment was made that it's been on, you know, been out there, been looked at, and it was never put in capital projects. So I have to ask about the urgency of this. I then think about pulling money off of the what was very clearly the council's wishes to continue with the study on the cruise ship. And I know that money moved over from an actual assessment, but to a study. You guys say that, well, you don't need that much money. Well, has anybody even put that out and know how much money that's going to really cost us? So, I mean, there's a question as to, has that even been looked at, and how do you know what that particular value is for that study if it hasn't even said even gone out for bid yet?
Those are good points, Councilman. First, appreciate the 911 special fund. comment. I've not looked at that myself. I'm be interested to see if it's something that, again, is eligible. I mean, as we're doing the CAD RMS system, how does that work? And does it meet the what the fund was set out to do? That would be my first question. And then, of course, what is the balance? As far as what the cost of the study for the ports demand study, it's just been a discussion with Director McLaughlin and I. I mean, looking at what other communities have paid for demand studies, but no, we have not issued the RFP to my knowledge. And Peggy, correct me if I am wrong.
No, you're not wrong. And the estimates, when we looked at what we thought was going to be a budget from that, they're falling somewhere between $175,000 and $200,000. So that was kind of our benchmark. The urgency behind the assessment, this was actually budgeted for in the FY23 operating budget for ports, but with changeover in administrations, a contract for this assessment was not made available to sign. So there was a little bit of a snafu in changeover in administration pieces, but the assessment has been on the radar. The actual work, once the assessment is made of what needs to be done, that actual work will go out to a formal bid process, and we'll get a rough order of magnitude to include that into the CMMP.
Okay, well then that's a big difference. I was really kind of leaning towards, you know, when I read the proposal here, it's leaning towards now just go out and bring it up for FY, you know, FY 20, when we had five. Oh my gosh. So it just, you need to go through that process. But I'll reconsider the thought on that. I'll talk to city manager, but okay, thanks for the input on that.
Thank you, Councilman Coleman. Any further questions regarding the ordinance 2024-02? Okay. Hearing no more discussion from the council, city clerk, has anyone signed up to provide public comment?
No, sir.
Nope. Okay, thank you. Sir. I'll restate the motion. Ordinance 2024-02, creating a budget amendment number 3 to the fiscal year 2024 budget, appropriating $84,450 from the general fund to increase the DPS records management system project, accepting State of Alaska Department of Health MIH grant for $83,333.33 to fund the purchase of a new command vehicle, reducing the budget amount for the cruise ship terminal demand study project by $45,042 to fund the UMC dock site survey on the port's operating fund. I'll request a roll call vote, please.
Certainly, Mr. Mayor. Ms. Coleman?
Yes.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Nicholson?
Yes.
Mr. Tungle?
Yes.
Ms. Luby?
Yes.
Thank you. On a roll call vote of 5-0 in favor of the resolution, this vote is scheduled a public hearing, the second reading on January 23, 2024, for ordinance 2024-02. Thank you. Next item is resolution 2024-01, establishing taxi cab rates for the calendar year 2024. We have a motion and a second to adopt the resolution.
Move to adopt resolution 2024-01.
Second.
Moved by Councilman Coleman, seconded by Councilman Luby. I'll turn this over to the city manager for further discussion.
Thank you. And we're going to turn this over to our new clerk, who has put the work and effort into working with this subject, as they always do. And hold your votes until we see the last note. Yes, Carla?
Thank you, Mayor and Council and City Manager Holmka. So as required by code, council determines the taxicab rates each year. And you have before you the resolution 2024-01, which will adopt the rates identical to the rates adopted since 2006. And on December 20th, we mailed out letters to all taxicab permit holders, asking them for their input on this issue and inviting them to this meeting. No responses were received during that time, and it doesn't appear that there are any permit holders tonight. So staff recommends adoption of resolution 2024-01.
Thank you very much. Any further questions or comments? Councilman Coleman?
So if there was a change, the meters obviously have to be adjusted to do the calculations and stuff, right?
That's
who pays for that adjustment?
It's shouldered by the taxi permit holders.
And how much is that?
I'm not sure, Council Member Coleman. But each year they have their meter tested at the as part of their process to renew the permit. But I can find out who does that. I think when it's DMV Rod Hester who helps check their meter, and sometimes if he's not available, one of the cops would test the meters to see if the rates are current okay. And accurate.
So it's calibrated by somebody here. They don't have to come out here.
I don't believe so.
Okay, and if they did a rate change, then there would be an additional cost to the calibration.
Correct.
Okay, thank you.
Could be a reason why they don't respond to an increase. Any further questions? Councilman Bell?
Yeah, I was just going to say, having installed some of those meters and done work on those, that would simply be just a software update, I would assume. It's been a long time since I've done any of those, so I'm sure there's newer models, but most of it's all just software. It just takes input from the vehicle. My only suggestion here, and I'll support this, my position is if the taxi industry, they want to put comment in and ask for increases, that I'd definitely entertain that. My only comment is increasing the time period that they have to respond. A 30-day, time period I think is fair. So other than that, I'll support this resolution.
Okay, thank you. Councilman Luby.
So I do know there's a couple taxi drivers that are out of town and have been out for the holidays, so they may not have had a chance to respond. Working with them, I know that the cost of fuel has gone up, and that's been an issue for some of them where, it actually has hurt them with the cost of fuel. And I'm very surprised they don't want to raise the rates, or they haven't, asked for an increase. And not knowing how much it costs to change their meters, I'm just curious if that's the reason they don't want to, is because they have to, pay extra to change their meters. To me personally, or as a business owner, I would think it would be more cost effective just to pay that and get it done. And then for the long term, you have the increase. So anyway, I'll support it as it is because they haven't come forward and suggested. I know I've heard, on one-on-ones that it has been an issue for them. So I'm really surprised they're not here. But like I said, there's a couple of them I know that are out of town too. But there's more taxis than just the ones I was talking to. So anyway, I'll support it the way it is.
Okay, thank you. You mentioned December 20th is the notice time they send out. Was that right, or was that November?
The December 20th, yes, Mayor.
Almost every year this time, taxi cab owners know this is going to happen. So.
Yes, Mayor. And in the past, we have it under as a consent agenda item too. And we've mailed out letters to them as early as December 1st in the past as well. And whenever they would renew their licenses, we would also inform them of this ordinance or this resolution being brought forward, but no one has expressed interest.
Okay, thank you. Any further questions? All right, thanks. All right, I'll restate anyone on the phone or public wish to comment? Anyone on the phone or Zoom?
No, sir.
Okay, thank you. I'll restate the motion. Adopt resolution 2024-01 establishing taxi cab rates for the calendar year 2024. May I have a roll call vote, please?
Mr. Nicholson?
Yes.
Ms. Luby?
Yes.
Ms. Coleman?
Yes.
Mr. Tungle?
Yes.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Thank you. On a roll call vote of five yeses in favor of resolution 2024-01. With this vote, the council has adopted resolution 2401. Next item is item C. It's a travel approval for AML Winter Legislative Conference. That's February 20th. To the 22nd, 2024 in Juneau. We need to know who is wanting to travel to this AML Winter Legislative Conference. Traditionally, this is really this winter legislative conference is basically a cleanup of activities from the prior year and establishing possible legislative issues since being in Juneau that need to be addressed by the city governments that are members of AML. Usually it's just the mayor or city manager and one other possibly, and I haven't seen where more than one or two go to this session. It's only been 2 days, 1.5 days really. And getting in June, you may be there for a month in February. That's my prediction. But anyone interested in going, I just need to know. Need a motion to approve
We need to determine who would like to go, and then we'll amend the motion to insert the names and proceed from there.
Okay.
Okay. I'll move to approve travel for Mayor Tudikoff to the AML Winter Legislative Conference in Juneau on February 20th through the 24th.
Second.
Moved by Councilman Coleman, second by Councilman Tungle to authorize the mayor to attend the February 20th, 2024 AML Winter Legislative Conference in Juneau. We have a roll call vote, please.
Mr. Tungle?
Yes.
Ms. Coleman?
Yes.
Ms. Luby?
Yes.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Nicholson?
Yes.
A roll call vote of five yeses. Authorization for the mayor to travel to AML Legislative Conference has been approved. The next item is city lobbying in Juneau, March 4th to the 6th, 2024 in Juneau. For lobbying. And I have Councilman Ball has requested to be a part of that trip to Juneau on March 4th and 6th. Any others?
I move to approve travel for Councilman Bong Petungal and Mayor Tudyakov to the city lobbying trip in Juneau, March 4th through the 6th.
Second.
Moved by Councilman Coleman, second by Councilman Nicholson to approve travel for Councilman Tungle and Mayor Tudyakov to attend city lobbying in Juneau, March 4th through the 6th, 2024. Now, roll call, please.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Ms. Luby?
Yes.
Mr. Nicholson?
Yes.
Ms. Coleman?
Yes.
Mr. Tungle?
Yes.
On a roll call vote, yeah, five in favor of authorizing Councilman Tungle and Mayor Tudyakov to attend the city lobbying in Juneau on March 4th through the 6th in 2024 in Juneau. Next one is the Swampsea Economic Summit membership meeting, March 7th and 8th, 2024 in Anchorage. Councilman Bong has requested an interest to attend this also. Any further interest? Councilman Bong?
Yeah, having to travel on this lobbying trip in Juneau, I think it makes sense to be attending that Swampsea without going back home and traveling back home and going back again. So it's a continuation of that week. So I think it makes more sense to attend both of them in that one week with just one airport ticket.
Thank you. City Manager, did you have an interest?
Yeah, I was planning to attend the Swampsea conference this year. Not been to one. I think it's listed as one of the ones that you'd like me to attend in my negotiation.
And I remember we had that discussion a couple of days ago, and thanks for reminding me, Councilman Coleman.
Since there's no other interest, I'd like to be considered. I actually might be traveling through at that time, so it'd be kind of a partial travel payment for me cost. So, but I would let the administration know as soon as I was, is a yes or no. But as long as if there's a spot for me, I'd like to go ahead and just hold that. Since nobody for Swampsea, yeah.
So you're not sure, or
I'm not sure, but it doesn't seem to be any other interest from.
We can accommodate council by authorizing, and then if you decide you're not going to go, then you need to inform the city manager or clerk.
Yes.
Okay.
I'll make a motion to approve a Swansea Economic Summit membership meeting from March 7th through 8th. 2024 for the mayor and up to three council.
And up to three.
Yeah.
Insert the names. You have to insert the names in the motion, please. Okay.
Councilman Luby and myself, Councilman Tungle. Oh. Armin Councilman Coleman and myself, Councilman Tungle, and whoever is decided to join us, another opening, one more opening for the council.
To make it clear, it's Councilman Coleman, Councilman Tungle, and City Manager and Mayor Tudyakov. Bill?
Just a quick question. Is there a registration fee or a fee for the attendees to for Swansea?
Membership. I believe it's just a membership. Swansea.
For Swansea, the registration fee is $330.
Yeah, thank you. It's right in front of my face there.
Okay, thank you. So we had a motion by Councilman Tungle. Was there a second?
I'll second.
Seconded by Councilman Luby. And I'll restate the motion. Councilman Tungle request travel authorization for Councilman Tungo, Councilman Coleman, the Mayor Tudikoff, and City Manager Omka to attend the Swampsea Economic Summit membership meeting March 7th and 8th in Anchorage. A roll call vote, please.
Ms. Luby?
Yes.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Nicholson?
Yes.
Mr. Tungle?
Yes.
Ms. Coleman?
Yes.
Thank you. On a roll call vote of five yeses, authorization for Councilman Tungle, Councilman Coleman, and City Manager, and Mayor to attend the Swampsea Economic Summit on March 7th and 8th. Been approved. Are there any council directives to the City Manager? Hearing none. This time, I'll community input and announcements is a final opportunity to provide information to the council or make announcements. A 3-minute time limit. Are there any further announcements? Anyone online or Zoom?
No, sir.
Thank you. Having completed all items on the agenda, we are adjourned at 7:24 p.m. Thank you very much. Good night, Unalaska.